Studios, Wisconsin with Christian Bri. I am so excited for our next guest who is in person. And this all happened because of our mutual friend, Eric Kennedy, who the master connector. But Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is here, who is in command of the Milwaukee Fire Department, which is the largest and busiest in the state of Wisconsin, which doesn't surprise me because there's a lot going on in Milwaukee.
Absolutely, absolutely. We provide all the fire suppression, all the emergency medical service, ton of prevention and fire education, and in a huge way, just showing up and building solutions out of absolutely nothing in many cases. That's just what firefighters do.
And so we had, I think it was back, must have been September, we had Joe Flick on Ignite the Spirit. And so I'm going to start with the same question I asked him. What TV or movie best depicts what it's like to be a fire station.
I'm afraid to answer this. So there was a series on HBO a ways back called Rescue Me.
Oh, FX.
FX. That's what it was. And that was a little more representative of the old days of being in a firehouse.
Oh.
And they really, really captured the crucible that is sitting at the firehouse table. It is where all the truths are told. You aren't allowed to hide behind anything, and many problems are solved. A lot of growing up happens at that table. Okay. A lot of learning happens at that table, and the time I'm talking about is from about 6:37 in the morning till maybe about 8:39 o'clock. The shift that's getting ready to go home is licking their wounds from the night before, having a cup of coffee so they can make the drive home. And the oncoming crew's coming in fresh-faced, ready to go. And there's just this thing that happens at the firehouse table where the off-going shift will talk about what happened during their previous 24 mm-hmm. or 48 hours. The oncoming shift, it isn't that they don't care. It's just that they're all full of energy and they haven't been beat down. So it's an incredible thing that happens. It's like one of the worst positions you can be in is to be a firehouse cook.
Okay.
Because you will never, ever have cooked for a group of people with higher expectations who are collectively among the cheapest human beings. So they want they want like a 7-course meal. They want it to be, exquisite. But they don't want to pay a lot for it. They want it to be on time. They want huge quantities, and it better be perfect or you just get annihilated.
Okay.
You have never read a food criticism in a newspaper or seen it on a Food Network show that is as brutal as firefighters criticizing food. I've seen people pick up the plate of food after they take the first bite and literally just walk over and drop the entire plate in the garbage can.
And then just not eat?
And just walk out of the kitchen. It's more of it's more theater than anything.
Got it. Okay.
But if you're the person who just poured the past few hours into getting this meal out and that's the response, I'm probably making it sound a little less professional than I'd prefer, but I am also trying to be honest.
I appreciate the honesty.
It's a hard atmosphere to work in. Because there is nowhere to hide. When we get down to the operational end of things, you either perform or you don't. There mm-hmm. isn't I almost did the job. Not in this line of work.
Yeah.
You either crawl in with your company and you take an absolute beating, getting baked, crawling down that hallway, putting fire out, crawling through 6 inches of cinder ash that's fallen down during the burn. You either do that or you don't. You either are hands-on with the person who has been shot multiple times and it looks horrific and it's all very visual and there's a lot of senses at play when you're on those scenes that television will never capture. You either are hands-on doing the do or you are not.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I'm just the person that just stands here. That doesn't exist. Not in today's fire service. Everybody is working their tails off right now. So that firehouse table That's where things get sorted out. And I've seen many people come in who don't know what this environment is like and kind of are, they don't want to make a mistake, right? And that's understandable. You don't want new people coming in just running roughshod in these environments. However, you want to encourage your people to be problem solvers. And in order to have good creative problem solvers, you have to encourage people to want to take a risk. You just want them to take a risk that isn't going to put their life or the life of their crewmates or citizens at risk unduly. But you want people to be, you know, working their way through the Rubik's Cube of life, not afraid that if they hand you the cube back and it's not solved, that you're going to chop their head off. And so you do have an environment that is very, very productivity-based. We don't get a lot of credit for that in the fire service, but it is very, very much about everybody needs to be firing on all cylinders because it is a team sport. At the end of the day, this is a team sport. So that firehouse table, I've seen people's lives change at that table. 26 years in this, where people come in and they're so nervous and afraid, they're brand new, they don't want to screw up, that they're not doing anything. They're just waiting to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And I get it. But what you want to develop is a person who is going to dive in and is going to get right next to you until you take them by the coat and go, hey, slow down. Hold on. Right? There's an old saying in the fire service that it's much easier to pull back on the reins than it is to push a wet rope up a hill. And it's entirely
true. Yeah, that's true.
It's entirely true. If you're working around people that are go-getters, which I am lucky enough to be leading an entire army of go-getters, you can craft that action into the proper action. It's very difficult to force the right action out of complete and total inaction. And so firefighters, you'll typically find lean forward.
We're talking to Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky, and that was a great answer because I remember that part of the show of that being like a central, that was like a character in the show was that table.
Absolutely.
And it's good to know that that was, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because I'd imagine they had a lot of input and direction on that show. But what are some, I mean, we have, we're already almost to our first break, but there's been an increase of services that you all need. There's like responding and how many, because it's not just fires, right? Like it's also the increase of reckless driving is also something that you're the first responders for as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have seen over the past 3+ years, we've seen a very steady increase in the demand for our services, whether it be for the fires, as you point out, it's not the only thing we do. It's our middle name, but it's not the only thing we do. The emergency medical services have also been climbing. And certainly anything you see related to violent crime typically is going to involve a response from us. And sometimes those responses get pretty massive. So the gunshot issue that we're grappling with here, the homicide rate is through the roof. We're breaking every wrong record. We can count about 1,000, probably just over that now. 1,000 people that we have successfully delivered alive to the hospital post-shooting.
Wow.
So you take whatever scary number.
And just this year?
Yes. You take whatever scary number it is right now, without Milwaukee Fire Department, firefighters and EMTs and paramedics responding, 1,000. It's you can't even imagine that. And then on top of that, the reckless driving. On top of that, all of the other things that just normally happen. Anytime you have human beings involved in anything, there's just increased risk, right? And I've been asked many times, why do you think the numbers are going up?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. If I knew, I think I could write a book and retire and be a billionaire.
There's a lot of cities that could probably use that expertise if you had the answer. Yeah.
Right. And so I can surmise. I'm certainly not done on my journey to try to figure it out, but I think the COVID shutdown had an awful lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to sit back now with 2020 hindsight and have big wide sweeping opinions and criticisms about how this was all handled. I remember on the front end, trying to figure out what we were going to do if half of our workforce was infected and or critically ill or dying. That's literally what it felt like when it was inbound. Maybe it's just how it felt to me. It felt like there is the plague is coming, yeah, sweeping across. And we had to be ready for it because we don't get to stop.
Yeah.
We don't get to go home. We can't go to a fire on a Zoom call. We have to be there. And we had to come up with ways to manage that, even if we started just having our folks start dropping. And we did that. And then as we started grappling with all of the changing circumstances and standards, and then testing became a thing, and then the vaccination started coming through, and then all of the stuff that happened, whatever side you are on that, I mean, the volume on everything was so loud, it was almost impossible to just shake it off and think, okay, what are we actually going to do in the next 10 minutes now? And so when everybody was told stay home and everything shut down, this is just a theory. I have no science whatsoever. I'm not like an anthropologist. I don't know. Human beings were just in the same spaces for longer. And so, you know, the light switch on the wall, you flip that on, you flip it off. The more times you do that, the more wear and tear there is on every little contact in that light switch, the more prone you are to start having a malfunction or an arc flash that ignites a fire. Well, we had people just staying in, literally locking themselves in their houses for many, many months, smoking cigarettes or other things, mm-hmm, right? The more you're in your house doing those things, the more chance of a fire starting. People weren't seeing their primary care physicians if they had them.
I need to cut you off because we have to go to a break really quickly, but you got two more segments.
We're good.
Our guest this half hour is Chief Aaron Lipsky. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Chief Aaron Lipsky, who is in command of the Milwaukee Fire Department. And we were talking before the break a little bit about the things that people can do in their homes that cause fires, and being stuck inside and smoking cigarettes inside and the light switches and stuff. And so one of the quotes that I heard, I forgot which event it was, but you were saying one of the ways to keep firefighters safe is to keep your own home safe and not do dangerous things that could start a fire. So what are some of the really simple things for all of us to keep in mind as far as don't do that?
Sure. So, and I'm not trying to make light of the tragedies that occur from fires, but don't come home from the bars at 2:30 in the morning and then think that you're a master chef who now needs to get every burner going and pots and pans in the oven, and then you go pass out on the couch. Don't do that.
Okay.
On a more probably every day, how about we don't have unattended cooking? So if you're going to fire up that stove or that oven, stay there. If you're going to light a candle, everybody likes a little ambiance, be where the candle is. Don't leave and leave the candle burning. A lot of fires start from, I don't think folks really realize this, but you get those beautiful glass candles. They're colored. They smell like whatever you want them to smell like.
Cinnamon cookies.
Exactly. And then that burns all the way down. And if you've ever seen a candle all the way burned down, there's that little metal disc, mm-hmm, at the bottom that holds the wick. And then it's typically just glass. Well, that superheats, and you can actually have that glass crack, and now you can tip that remaining flame over, and you can start things on fire. Not good.
Not good.
I would have people take control of their smoking-related materials. If you're a smoker, and it's just your deal, it's not a judgment statement, but keep these lighters and these matches out of kids' hands. We have a lot of fires. I've seen some terrible tragedies, kids dying in fires because they were just, they're curious. And it's dynamic. It's bright. There's things that happen from it. They don't understand how fast it grows. Most non-firefighters have no idea how fast fire grows.
Yeah. I wouldn't
keep it from starting. Change your smoke alarms or the batteries in your smoke alarms if you've got the ones that need to be changed every year. Now would be a really good time. We just came through daylight savings. Understand how you would get out of your home if you lost your vision. And what I mean by that is we all walk around our houses in clear air with the lights on. Think about it at night. If you get up to go use the restroom or you just want to go grab a glass of water in the kitchen, you don't turn every light on to go do that, but there's ambient light. You don't even have that when smoke begins to fill your space. So think your way through how you would feel your way out of your home. And what would be alternate routes if you can't get... These are things we teach every second and fifth grader in the city of Milwaukee in our Survive Alive house. And you'd be thrilled to understand how much that sticks with these kids. They really, really are better at it than most adults. Other things, extension cords. I get it. Everybody has so much technology and everything needs to be charged, you know, all the time. Extension cords and those extenders, the big power strips, they have their purpose. And if you need to use that, you need to use that. Those are all temporary adjuncts. Those are not supposed to be extensions of your home's wiring system. So if you have that situation where you need to run extension cords around and into the next room for your television because the outlet isn't working, fixing the outlet is going to be your safer bet. But let's be real about it. Many people are stuck in situations where they don't have control over fixing the outlet. They're renting and they're just, you know, thanking their lucky stars they have a roof over their head. And let's talk turkey about it. Many of the landlords aren't, the scruples isn't exactly the strong suit. So if they complain about the wiring, boom, they might be out on the road. And that's, we got a lot of people in Milwaukee that are in a real hard way this way. How do you say to somebody, and we're going out doing education sessions with the Department of Neighborhood Services, the HomeSafe program, trying to educate on something as simple as don't run an extension cord underneath a little runner, a little section of carpet or anything that can build up a lot of heat under there and start fires that way. Don't pinch your extension cords. Actually look at them and make sure they don't have holes in them. All these things have been known to start fires. On to the medical end of things, we are really starting to become way more involved. Now, we've been doing fire prevention since fire department was invented, right? Now that we're so deeply invested in public health with emergency medicine, what we're starting to see is an investment in the health emergency prevention end of things. So we have a community paramedic program where we take our highest utilizers of 911 for emergency medical services, and we basically send specially trained and certified paramedics and emergency medical technicians out to get them enrolled with a primary care physician, get their insurance stuff sorted out, work out pharmacy issues, home health assessments, looking at other markers of what might be contributing. You could have somebody who has really bad asthma that happens to be triggered by cats. I'm pulling that out of thin air. Nothing against cats. And they don't particularly love or hate the cat. They just have a cat. And you say, you know, this cat is causing you to have your asthma spike every day.
Yeah.
That's an environmental thing, perhaps, if we didn't have the cat anymore. And the simple changes people can make in their lives that improve their general daily quality of life. And that would be better, wouldn't it?
It would be better.
If people were healthier.
I totally agree. I totally agree with everything you just said. And I just learned a lot, too, because as far as some of the things, as far as this is why I don't have candles, because I would definitely be the person who leaves it and starts a fire that way. All right, we got to take another break. But Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is our guest. He will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hold on me right from the start. I gripped so tight.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky. And so we were talking at the break. I was like, what do you want to talk about next? And you're like, I got some great people that you
Absolutely.
Lead. And so, as we already said, I know at least one of them, but what is
Which one is that?
The pretty one.
The beautiful one.
Mr. Joe Flick.
That's right.
What do you feel like the defining characteristics are of firefighters? Like, what, if you had to pick the top three adjectives of the people that you're in charge of, what would they be?
Oh, that is a good question. So they've got to be willing.
Okay.
Right. You have to want to come in to do this. You also have to be, strong and not only physically strong. You have to have strong mental and emotional capabilities. The physical work is hard enough. But we see so much tragedy, and so much more, it seems, nowadays. Just the normal medical, someone passes away in their home and you go there and you do everything you can and it just doesn't work. That's hard enough to witness. And you serve people better by remaining clinical in those moments. Not dispassionate, but keeping your mind on the mission and what you're supposed to be doing at that moment. And at the same time, I've seen some of our most grizzled, salty veterans when they're cycled out of doing CPR or starting IVs or whatever, I've seen some of those folks just acknowledge a family member in the room and just put their hand on their arm and say, hey, we're doing everything we can. Are you all right? Because think of yourself in those moments, if you've ever been unfortunate enough to witness that, it's horrible to watch. It's horrible to watch all of the things in the tubes and the beeps and the electronics and the movement. It's got to be horrible to watch. And our folks, and I've seen this so many times in my career, where they don't forget the humanity of what they're dealing with. So as technical and proficient and all those things they need to be, they don't forget that the primary ingredient in the entire thing is the ability to connect with another human being and just make sure, how you doing? I've seen many, many people call 911 out of just sheer confusion. They weren't sure if it was an emergency or not.
Yeah.
And I've watched our people come in, sopping wet turnout gear from the fire they just came from, and now you're walking in, and it's not really an emergency, but the person is, they're just confused. And I've watched people solve problems just by being with another person and just by talking. And I've watched medical problems improve just by the assurance and the confidence that a firefighter or a paramedic brings to the room, to that person, and just making eye contact and talking with them and not talking to them and not browbeating them and being all medical, but just talking with them like, hey, we're here now. You honestly bear witness as a firefighter and a paramedic to the transition between life and death so many times, or between death and life so many times in your career, that it can't help but stain you and stain your soul a little bit, not to be all like metaphysical about it, but it leaves scars, it leaves artifact on you, especially when you start dealing with children. Because typically the children didn't do the ridiculous thing or the violent thing or the just ignorant thing that now all of a sudden caused them to be in the middle of it. I don't get to go to many emergency scenes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to go to emergency scenes of all types, fire and EMS runs, because I like to be reminded of the level of service that we are providing to anybody who calls from any neighborhood, anything they're calling us for, we're going. I had an opportunity very recently to take my daughter. I have a 17-year-old daughter who incidentally was just on the team that won the state championship for varsity volleyball.
Oh, congratulations to her.
Incredible. It was the Divine Savior Holy Angels Dashers. Go Dashers. And
Prancers?
Nope, just the Dashers. Just the Dashers. Nobody knows what a Dasher is, but that's what we yell loudly. But I was in close proximity and became aware that there was a fire, and I had her in the car with me, and I had a chance to bring her, like, front row seats to, and it was a house that was very well involved in fire on three floors.
Oh,
and some of the best in the business responded in and were beginning to make a fire attack. And that's a pretty unique circumstance. Most people don't get to have that front row seat. And I just wanted her to see what we've been doing all these years.
Yeah.
And it was a proud moment for me. And I don't think she even has one hint of a idea of a wish of being a firefighter. And that's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right. But I was so proud to watch these firefighters really going at it and really doing it. And to have her see that from almost beginning to end. And she was asking really good questions about it. But the thing that I just kept feeling the whole time I was there was like, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen today. And I was so thankful that it did, because she had a chance to see it now. And I could kind of be there and explain. And it doesn't always go well, right? It's emergencies. It doesn't go as planned most of the time. You try to have it go as planned, but things happen. This one, everything went exactly as you'd want it to go. And these firefighters were engaging brutal conditions inside this building. And they never quit. They never backed down. And you could see them winning from the outside. And when you know what to look for, you can see that. And I was able to explain that. And my daughter didn't say much afterwards. She's 17 right now. So I took that to mean she was a little bit in awe of what she just experienced. We get to see that stuff every day. I was at another far more tragic scene not too long ago, where there were multiple people who had suffered gunshot wounds, and there was a child in close proximity to the victims who was completely unaware of what had just happened. And when I walked up on that scene, one of our paramedic officers was carrying the child, probably two and a half years old, was carrying the child specifically away from that scene. And from the vantage point I had, I was looking at the yellow tarp, which signifies that was somebody who's been murdered now. I could see that, and I could see my paramedic officer carrying this child away. And it told the entire story of what we're struggling with right now. It's, we've got, on the one hand, we've got this going on, and on the other hand, we've got a firefighter, a paramedic who understands this kid needs to be anywhere but here right now. But we don't know where but just anywhere but here. And when you see that look stained on somebody's face of like, I just want to escape this location right now, and I'm taking her with me. When you see that, you begin to understand what it really means to be a firefighter and a paramedic in the modern day.
Yeah.
So I don't bring all that up to like have it be a big downer on our conversation here today, but the impact that has on our members, both from a process improvement, it's kind of a weird thing to say right now, but they get better at this as they go. Just coming up against, it had to be a week or so before Christmas last year. I was just laying down to go to bed, and my phone chirped at me. I kind of keep my finger on the pulse even when I'm off duty. My wife will verify this. And my phone chirped, and I saw, oh, they're sending a response for a house fire. It's always a horrible, it's never a good time, but it's an especially horrible time just before the holidays. And so I looked into the call on my phone, and there was reports of a large number of children trapped inside the house.
Oh, jeez.
So that perks every firefighter's ears up. You instantly, you like, okay, what's going on? So I turned my radio on and listened, and the first arriving engine company, in fact, had multiple people trapped. They had a kid stuck up on an overhang with flames enveloping him. He was, I mean, it was just a whole bunch going on at once. So I kissed my wife. I said, I'll be back in a little while. And I zipped on down there, and they got everybody out.
Oh, wow.
They got everybody out. And minor injuries at the end of the day. And there literally one of our firefighters crawled through flames blowing out of the whole first floor to get up onto this overhang to wrap the kid and bring the kid down. And that all happened. You know, here's the thing. They didn't have 2 or 3 days to plan this out. The alarm went off, and 2.5 minutes later, that's what you're doing. You have dramatically increased time compression, the life hazards. It is a game of seconds. You have bad information most of the time, or at least inadequate information. But you have to cobble together this multi-part, multi-level plan and implement it within about 12 seconds of pulling up. And that's a skill set in and of itself. The fire service excels at that. But they pulled that off, and it made me proud, right? I'm just the guy who, you know, I move my mouse around and tap on my keyboard and like sign stuff every now and again. Like that's,
give statements, right, show up like at events.
Right.
You just phone your job in.
I get to stand next to the beautiful one every now and again.
Kobe's listening right now.
Right. Oh, I do too. I'm surprised he's not texting me, but they are the lifeblood of the fire department. The engine companies and ladder companies and paramedic units and our heavy rescue companies, they are the functioning unit of the fire department. They're the ones that when the chips are down, that's who you're calling. And that's who we're sending. Yeah. They're not sending me.
Well, right? At one point they sent you though. When you were
That was a couple years ago. But they just do a phenomenal job. And I'll tell you something else that happened is companies that were involved in those rescues, you know, a week or so before Christmas, all of the presents for those kids burned in that fire. So they went out and they bought presents for these kids and had those kids come to the firehouse with mom and had pizzas and gave them presents. The Milwaukee Bucks got in on it.
Oh, wow.
They gave a bunch of swag to the kids, right? It was it was a very special moment. And they did that on Christmas Day when they were assigned to be on duty and they weren't able to be at home with their own families. Now, they didn't ask for, they didn't want, they probably don't even want me talking about it right now. They want nothing for that. It was just something that they understood. The privilege and the fortunate circumstances we are in to be firefighters.
Well, that's a good, I didn't know where that story was going to go. And so when you said kids trapped inside, I was like, oh gosh. And so that is a real, this was right before last Christmas.
Yes.
So about coming up in the year. Wow. All right. Well, we have one more segment with you. Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is here with more stories. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lights them up, 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 up,
to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest has been and is still for this final segment of the hour, Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky. And so you guys just reopened the doors to welcome people back.
We've been trying to throw the doors open here and ensure the community knows that their community fire stations are still their community fire stations. Mm-hmm. It's not just a utility building that occasionally has a red truck come out of it. It's a hub in many, many neighborhoods, in any neighborhoods that they're in. And, you know, we were all necessarily isolated. I mean, that was the word, isolation, right? We were all necessarily isolated so I could ensure that our workforce wasn't contracting whatever was going on. But then as that has changed now, we're like 2 years into like, okay, shake it off. So we've been starting to turn this around for about the past 6 months to a year to say, all right, let's start letting the kids back in for tours. Mm-hmm. And any firefighter that has worked in any fire station anywhere in the galaxy understands that when a kid pushes his bicycle up to the overhead door with a flat tire, every firefighter anywhere understands how to fix a flat tire. And you help the kid fix the flat tire, not because it's an emergency, not because we're obligated to be like mini bicycle repair people, but because there's a little kid who's that kind of stinks, right? He's like pushing a flat tire on a bike. Like, who wants... What are you going to tell the kid? Like, get out of here. No, you do everything. I mean, I've watched, like, that'd be a good side business, actually, would be a bicycle repairman, because we do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Even kids understand. Go there for help. People know when you come and ring the doorbell at the fire station, whatever your issue is, you'll be helped. I can't tell you the number of times people would ring the doorbell and go, hey, my car just ran out of gas. Gas station won't give me a gas can. Do you have a gas can? I'll bring it back, I promise. And I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it's 26 years now. I've seen that happen a number of times. Mm. And guess what happens every time?
They bring back the gas can.
They bring back the gas can. Because see, not everybody's out to get you.
Yeah.
Like people need stuff. We have stuff. Let's help. And that really, 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 I guess is the point of, I need my people, my firefighters and paramedics, to meet the community when they're not in the middle of a crisis, when they're not suffering the worst situation maybe they'll suffer in their lives. I need them to meet them before that happens. And I need them to engage and connect with them and realize they never are going to call us via 911 for, you know, the birthday party or the baptism or come on over for Thanksgiving. That's not why they're calling us. They're calling us because the circuit breaker tripped and it's beyond their control. It's very, very easy to get cynical when that's all you see all day long. So I think it's important. Get the doors open. Get back out. Let the community in. Get back out in the community so that you remember, even in some of our toughest neighborhoods, the ones that get all the flash and all the press and all the notoriety, and it really takes on a very negative tone in the media. There are absolutely solid people living in these neighborhoods. Many of them don't have the means to just pick up and move because now the neighborhood has issues. There are very good people. And I guess my message would be that, you know, we need, for many of the reasons we've talked about here, we need for people to buy into our message of fire prevention and the health and safety issues. We need for people to buy into our message. They're never even going to listen to us if they think we're like this isolated group of people that doesn't ever communicate unless there's an emergency. And the other thing is I think proximity is a driver of fondness and trust. And so if you're around people and you're just simply being next to someone, talking to them, sharing a bratwurst, like you've established a connection. It doesn't mean you have to fall in love and run away and get married or become drinking buddies, but you have established a link that didn't exist before. And that probably is never going to pay itself off on one-to-one returns, right? But you will just, and this is, I'm like way out there on this, but if you send good stuff out, good stuff comes back. I'm a believer in that.
I believe that too.
I would like to send something good back after everything that you told us, Chief, over this hour. Now, I want to bake for everybody. I want to bake cookies and breads. And I mean, what can members of the community do to say thank you to our firefighters and our paramedics?
Well, thank you for that, Jane. I would say bring all the cakes and cookies directly to my office and I will distribute them as I see fit.
That's a great answer.
I'll tell you what. That is one thing that happens. People bake stuff or they put together a veggie tray or a fruit bouquet or whatever. People do that and they ring the doorbell and drop it off. Firefighters actually dig that a lot. We are trying to eat
despite
healthier.
Having such high quality taste, they'll still anything we bring them.
See, because cheap overrides high
Fair,
quality
free,
taste.
Some free.
Right.
Free so, always tastes good.
Exactly. So someone else made it, it's already better, right?
Fair.
You go to someone else's house for dinner and they made mac and cheese, it's better than if you made it at home. It always is. I would say on a simpler note, and Kristen broached this before, you can say thank you by engaging on the prevention message. And you know what? If you see a firefighter out in a grocery store shopping, I want to just get this out on the airwaves. We pay for our own food. So snarky questions to firefighters pushing a grocery cart, like it's not necessary. Because we buy our own food. You're not.
Taxpayers are impacted.
That's correct.
Yes.
Every firefighter that has ever been in a grocery store ever in a uniform, I've been off duty. I got off shift, stopped at the grocery store, and people just, I think they think, well, I'm going to charge this guy because he's on the dole. And you're like, I just got off a 48-hour shift. I'm trying to get home and get my party ready for my daughter's birthday. Get off my back.
All right, so thank a fireman, bake cookies, send them to your office. That's the lasting message.
100% correct.
All right, well, this has been lovely. I'm so happy you made it in.
Yeah,
I feel like
you.
We could probably talk for.
Oh,
I'll buy you a drink. There's lots more to talk about, maybe off air.
We'll do.
But Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky has been our guest for the last hour. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you to all of your firemen and firewomen. We couldn't do what we do without you guys.
Well,
so thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll take another break and stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.